You may know that you already kind of read and heard the psalm in the call to worship. That prayer came from a pastor in New Zealand. I love the internet, and it fits so well, so he took and reshaped that psalm into a call to worship. But now I will read the psalm, Psalm 27. The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is the stronghold of my life. Of whom shall I be afraid? When evildoers assail me to devour my flesh, my adversaries and foes, they stumble and fall. Though an army encamp against me, my heart shall not fear. Though war rise up against me, yet I will be confident. One thing I asked of the Lord, that will I seek after, to live in the house of the Lord all the days of my life, to behold the beauty of the Lord and inquire in his temple. For he will hide me in his shelter in the days of trouble. He will conceal me under the cover of his tent. He will set me high on a rock. Now my head is lifted up above mine enemies all around me, and I will offer in his tent sacrifices with shouts of joy. I will sing and make melody to the Lord. Hear, O Lord, when I cry out loud. Be gracious to me and answer me. Come, my heart says, seek his face. Your face, Lord, do I seek. Do not hide your face from me. Do not turn your servant away in anger. You who have been my help, do not cast me off. Do not forsake me, O God of my salvation. If my mother and father forsake me, the Lord will take me up. Teach me your ways, O Lord, and lead me in level paths. Because of mine enemies. Do not give me up to the will of my adversaries, for false witnesses have risen against me, and they are breathing out violence. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your heart take courage. Wait for the Lord. The word of the Lord in Scripture, the word of the Lord among us, the word of the Lord within us. My friend Agnes reminded me of a Celtic tradition of thin places. Thin places talk about an idea that the early Celtic people had who lived in Scotland and Ireland. They believed that there were certain places where you could go and be close to God. These earthbound places were located all over the land, and when you went to these places, there seemed to be a thin place, a thin divide between you and God, no distance. It was a place where the past and the present and the future just seemed to merge together, and you felt the Creator's presence. Often, for the ancient Celtic people, they were in places of water, near shorelines and rivers, springs, places where trees and green grew strong, and it was quiet of human sounds. In modern times, we have expanded this idea to thin places not just being in geographical locations, but experiences, moments when the holy becomes visible to the eyes of the Spirit. I suspect you may have experienced a thin place even if you didn't know the term. It's a place where you have felt God close and real. It may be outside. It may be when you go to the shore and the waves against the beach feel like the heartbeat of God. Or maybe it's when you see a daffodil come up where you swear there was no growth just a week ago. Or maybe it's when you go to the top of Telegraph Hill or to a vista on the Marin Headlands and you look at this view and think it's as big and beautiful and large as God's arms. Maybe these thin places break through in worship, in a word, in a thing sung. Or maybe it's when the stained glass comes through and hits the window just right, the light hits it, and you see this rainbow and you think it is a rainbow of God just for you. We go back to these places, or we go back to them in our minds and hearts when times seem busy and complicated and confusing. These places can bring a bit of calm to a dry, parched spirit. Agnes believes that there are certain passages of Scripture that are especially helpful in transporting us to a special place with God in our time. The words and the images of Psalm 27 leads us to such a place, a kind of a place where human and the divine meet in a beautiful closeness. You hear it in these words: "The Lord is my light and my salvation. Whom shall I fear? The Lord is my stronghold of my life. Whom shall I be afraid? God will hide me in God's shelter in the days of trouble. Come, my heart says, seek God's face." These words have such trust and confidence, certitude, almost a boldness that says the psalmist knows that God is with them in all situations. The writer of the Psalms uses this image that God is his light, his salvation. Light invokes those images of hope, of growth, of warmth, of clarity, of safety. God is my stronghold. The hymn talks about it as a mighty fortress. God is like a building of strong stone and steel girders that cannot be moved by an earthquake or a tsunami. I wonder if you heard in the psalm this almost the shadow side, that there are times when the whole world seems against the psalmist. There are these strong images. Evil doers will devour my flesh. They encamp all around me. A sense of fear and insecurity permeates this psalm. It is only natural that fear and fright are there, for they're not real unless there is confidence and trust side by side. The affirmations of confidence are like islands situated in the sea of life terrors, safe but always threatened. There is the sense that we can trust in God's presence, that God is in control of the world, that the future is God's. And yet, at the same time, we can say, God, where are you? Are you angry with me? Do not forsake me. The psalmist had confidence that God's response would stay the same, even if that psalmist had questions. And in that confidence, the questions do remain. Maybe the image of God as light and stronghold means that there is a hiding place for us when life just seems to assail us. That when the world is falling down on us, there is a place of safety. Maybe these words and these images surround us until we can feel that peace once again, that confidence. They are a promise, a hope, an anchor, that when life feels chaotic, there is still something for us. Psalm 27 says, well, it talks about confidence, but it's a realistic confidence, a human confidence, a confidence in which many of us surely do struggle. I'm reminded about a book that Mother Teresa, it was about her, is written after her death, where they put all her letters together, her correspondence. The book was called Mother Teresa, Come Be My Light. And it was widely covered in the media for a seemingly scandalous collection of Mother Teresa's writings. Teresa wrote her spiritual director, her priest, her spiritual confidant, this letter. Jesus has a very special love for you, but as for me, the silence and the emptiness are so great. I look, but I do not see. I listen, but I do not hear. The tongue moves in prayer, and I do not speak. I want you to pray for me, that I let Jesus have free hand in my life. The news outlets drummed up what would sell paper. There were headlines like, Mother Teresa does not believe in God, Mother Teresa and her lack of faith. But the actual editor of the book said, she's just saying what God's people have known forever, that faith is difficult, that confidence in God is not something you can go out and buy at a store, or an order in a lifetime supply from a television advert and then forget about it. The stages of spiritual growth are complex, confusing, and annoyingly unpredictable. At the end of her letter, Mother Teresa still asked the priest, her spiritual advisor, to pray for her. Despite the shocking headlines, her faith was not totally absent, but rather her confidence in God was at a low. She experienced what St. John of the Cross described hundreds of years ago as a dark night of the soul. And so she prayed. She studied the Bible. She asked others to pray for her. She worshiped. She sought God's heart. And she lived a life worthy of service of God. What caught me in the reading and the preparation of the sermon was even in those dark times, even in the time of confidence, the psalmist still seeks, longs for, prays to be led and shaped by God. Verse 11 reads, "Teach me your ways, lead me on a level path." The psalmist is asking to have the posture, the attitude, the openness of a pupil. To pray is to be taught. It is an expression of the willingness to make a new beginning, a fresh start. Even in the midst of enemies, of fear, of joy, and confidence, there is an attitude to seek to be taught, to be led to a level path. And this level path may be nothing more than a hope that there will be a life with more predictability, a life that is more normal, less filled with the canyons and the crags of uncertainty and turmoil, or it may be request of a life, an assurance of a new shape, a new form of a life, a willingness to be led. It implies a willingness to walk, to move. I will admit I picked this psalm a number of weeks ago because I liked it better than the other choices that week. Not a lot. It's like the least offensive, so I went with it. Oh, yes, your pastor has such depth. But I will admit by the end of this week of learning about it, of digging into it, of living through this psalm, I realized that it might just become a thin place for me, a place where I can encounter the holy, where God's presence seems real. It's about that which brings us to the church even when our hearts are breaking and we're filled with more questions than anything else. It's about that which makes us trust in the resurrection, to believe that James Wilson is with God, The psalm calls heaven as the land of the living. It means that we trust that James is with God, and we can ask at the same time, why now, God? It means at a memorial service next Saturday, there will be tears and loss and grief, but down in the fellowship hall after, you will hear laughter and stories being told as we remember our favorite James memory. May we learn to move closer to God. May we discover those thin places in our world, reminding us that God is in our past, God is in our present, God is in our future, God is real. May we live into and through the Psalms so its images can give us confidence beyond ourselves, beyond our burdens and our questions. Hold us fast when life seems to crash down upon us, and lead us into new learnings as we seek to follow God's path. The last verses of the psalm offer us a word of confidence, a word of promise, a word of blessing. I believe that I shall see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. Wait for the Lord. Be strong. Let your hearts take courage. Wait for the Lord. Amen.